1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Jeff Dowder joins us, a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech for Hypothetical America. And Professor Dowder, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Hendry. And tonight on Hypothetical America, I want to ask a pretty basic question. I think it got to be kind of cute for people to consider. Okay, here it is. Okay, all right.
Will you get to it, please?
I'm sorry. Here it is. Okay.
Oh, my God.
If, you know how they say that bread is the, well, not bread is the bread of life. They say something is the bread. I forget what they say is the bread of life. But
I guess love or something.
Yeah, okay. So that's got nothing to do with it. Let's just say if there was no bread, that's what I'm trying to lead up to.
Okay.
What? In Hypothetical America tonight, we're going to discuss, what if there wasn't any bread? Like, you know, Roman meal or Wonder Bread or rye bread or seven-grain sprouted, you know, or wheat berry. I don't know how many people out there enjoy the wheat berry. I'm kind of partial to wheat berry or cracked wheat, you know, or, you know, hot dog buns. And
yeah, okay, I understand. If there was no bread, the kind of stuff that you make a sandwich with.
Yeah, stuff you make a sandwich with. You got raisin bread, you got cinnamon bread. What if we never not had none of that, okay? What would it be like? What would the world have been like? First off, the ducks at the pond would starve. There'd be dead. You'd have to be stepping over dead ducks.
Why?
Think about it. What? I mean,
well, you can feed them something else, can't you?
I don't know what you feed them. Most people do tear up pieces of bread and throw it to them. There'd be duck carcass from here till your sister's Christmas. Also, if there was no bread at Christmas time, you'd be eating ginger men, and that sort of sounds messed up because that sounds kind of, because like there ain't no bread, okay? So it'd be ginger man. It wouldn't be no gingerbread man, okay?
That's great.
Well, I mean, if you're getting irritated.
No, go ahead, man. I'm hearing you.
Okay. If there was no bread, Jesus would have had to use like a carrot or something at the Last Supper. And what he's going to say, take this carrot. This is my body. I mean, that'd be messed up. So, in other words, when you go to communion and then if you're Catholic, the guy'd be giving you a carrot slice? I don't think so. He'll be chewing on it going back to the... Or he'd use a plum, you know. Take this plum. This is like me. And then you go to communion, and the priest goes, here's a plum. He just throws it in your mouth. People be gagging on the pit and everything.
Okay. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, gee, thanks. Thanks for throwing me a little something. Also, when you asked if you're going to go to Ozfest, and you say to your friend, well, no, I ain't got no bread, people would go, what? What do you mean? Also, if there was no bread, the band Bread would be a total mystery. I mean, what's that? You know? And now here's who with Baby Don't Get Hooked on Me or whatever that tune, what did they do?
Bread?
Yeah.
What tune did they do, Chris? Something like I Want to Make It With You, wasn't that it?
Yeah, they sang. That was I Want to Make It With You with, I'm sorry, but I don't know the name of the band.
Well, wouldn't they be named something else?
What?
I don't know. They could have named themselves,
What, Sawdust? So, yeah, that was Baby I Want to Make It With You from Sawdust. Somehow that doesn't... Okay, and please don't interrupt me.
Well, I'm just, you're saying the band Bread would be a mystery. I mean, they might want to name themselves something else.
Okay, they could have named themselves Carrot Stick or something. But what if there was no carrots? Hey, check it out. There wouldn't be no Carrot Top. He'd have to call himself, what, Wonder Bread Man? Okay, also, if there was no bread, like the ducks, pigeons would die. So ducks, pigeons, and also the other thing, Phil... When you go home, you told me once you like to make a ham sandwich, don't you? Don't you make a ham sandwich, Mr. Hendry? Mr. Hendry, huh?
Yes, I do. I like to make a sandwich when I get home.
Mr. Hendry wouldn't have no ham. He'd just be like a piece of ham in his hand, which probably is what usually happens anyway.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm just joking. And, like, he'd have his ham in his hand with mustard on it.
Hang up on him.
No, please. I got something else I want to say.
See, when it starts getting personal, that's when I hang up on this cat. What if there wasn't any bread? Hypothetical Yeah, David.
I want to hear the rest of this guy's bit. Put him back on.
Did you hear what he just said?
A big deal.
That's an FCC violation.
No, it's not.
Well, it's a, you know, borderline.
No, it isn't. What's borderline? He says you come home, you got your ham in your hand.
You know what he's trying to do with that.
He said if there's no bread and you want to have a ham sandwich, where are you going to have your ham?
In my hand.
Thank you. You're kind of ham handy, aren't you? Put him back on.
Jeff, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. That kind of blew what we're going to do next, but I wanted to mention to you, Mr. Henry, that the tsunami that has currently happened has an explanation beyond the earthquake, the sub-oceanic earthquake that was tracked. We know, for instance, in the world we live in, that one microbe can change biochemically the nature of, like, an entire ocean. We also know, for instance, that one...
You might want to put the joint out.
Okay. You want to hold that? Does anybody want any more of this?
Get him out of here, will you? Anybody want any more of this? David, you heard...
He's joking around.
He made a drug reference.
Yes. Put him back on.
Go ahead.
Okay. Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. All I'm trying to say is this. If you understand that, then you understand the tsunami and the force of the winds that follow the tsunami can be created by something as simple as nature itself. In the case of the tsunami, where it's located in the world, was down here in South Asia. Now, off to the southeast is a very large continent island called Australia. Australia has a indigenous animal called a kangaroo that we're all familiar with.
Okay.
The kangaroo, because of the diet that it has, because of the vegetation that is indigenous to Australia, creates in the kangaroo, and I'm not kidding about this, Phil, gas that can be violently expelled. And that can create the winds.
All right, hang up on him.
No, please. Please, Mr. Henry, I just want to tell you what it sounds like, okay?
Don't hang up on him. This is bull crap.
This is not bull crap. I swear to God. This is what it sounds like when a kangaroo farts. That was great.
Yeah, that was great. I told you the guy was full of crap.
Look, when you go home tonight and put your ham in your hand, will you?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to have bread. Two pieces of rye bread and a ham slice in between, man, with a little bit of mustard and a little bit of tomato to go along with it. Boy, oing, oing, oing. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later on tonight, we have Love Songs with Bob behind the scenes. We'll also have Father James McQuarters on how to talk to your kids about the tsunami. I know that there's a great deal of concern, certainly, among parents. How do we talk to our children? Father McQuarters will be on, the Roman Catholic priest. Bob Bakian will have a report with us this evening as well. And, of course, Craig Hardy's news from a guy that overhears stuff in a bar. All coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, what did we do last? We did Bobby Dooley last night, and Bobby was talking about...
She was doing her fashion show.
Oh, yeah. That was an idea that was actually emailed to us by a listener, Victoria, I think was her name. So thank you, Victoria, for that. We get a lot of, you know, ideas. I mean, every day we have people saying, you should have Steve Bozell dress up as a woman and then fart like a kangaroo or something. And most of it sucks, but that was a great idea. I think her name was Victoria. If it wasn't, I'm sure she'd email me and say, Phil, you dumbass, my name is Bob. But in any event, thank you for that. I got a few more emails we'll read to you here tonight. I don't know if there are any more any good, but... here's an example of what I'm talking about. Listen to this stupid idea. I love your show, and I have an idea for a bit. I hope you can pull this off without going to jail. You start off with one of your characters. They have a new mission in life to stop abortion. How about if you use that reverend who says he will encourage sex that is forbidden in the Bible if it'll stop abortions? I hope you use it, John. What a crap idea that is. Unbelievable. Dear Phil, I love your show. I have an idea for a bit. Why don't you use a reverend to say that abortions are bad and you can have any kind of sex? See what I'm saying? Just a bad idea after bad idea. Here's one here that always drives me nuts. Hi, my name is Scott. I live in New York. I'm a huge fan of you, and I listen to you almost every night to fall asleep. I tried calling in a few times, but it was not your show. Do you air live for me? For me, your show airs at 11:15 p.m., and your second goes from 12 to 1. What are people doing with a show out there? What are they? If some of the affiliates are tape delaying us, or they're playing 2 hours live and 1 hour taped, or they're doing 1 hour tape and 2 hours live, I don't understand it. I'm very sorry, Scott. I wish I could answer the question. It would be so much better if people ran the show live, and that way, yeah, I don't know. I love the thing with the women and the fashion show. Couldn't stop laughing how real that was. If you could please write me back with the times you air live. I listen on AM 810. Thanks for your time, Scott. I think that's in Albany, New York.
I'm checking right now.
Yeah, but, and I don't know when they air the show. I thought they aired it live there in Albany. But sometimes they will tape delay things, and we're not really clear. 1-800-449-8. I hope that's a good answer. I don't know. That's generally people will email me and say, hey, what do you think about this? I don't know. Dear Bob, I don't know. Phil. Some dude just wrote and said, I hate Doug Danger. And I said, whatever, douchebag. Phil. You know, like, you don't dig it. What do you want me to say, you know?
This character you do really sucks.
I'm still, you know, what do you want? I guess I won't do it anymore then. 1-800-449-8686, World Famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we will have Father James McQuarters, How to Talk to Your Kids About the Tsunami. Love Songs with Bob, a little behind the scenes. Bob Bakian and Craig Hardy will be with us. Tomorrow night, Steve Bozell from Corona, California, with yet another ill-fated lawsuit, I'm sure. We'll be in Tucson, Arizona on February the 5th, signing our new CD, Fahrenheit 711. And that's our Best of the Year 2004 CD. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And I wonder how much bread we've raised so far. Can you get a check on that from Camilla and find out if she's got a number for us? And you can also order that from our website, www.philhenryshow.com, or call 877-616-7445. Canadian paper draws ire for listing tsunami missing. Canada's biggest newspaper came under fire on Thursday for publishing the names of Canadians reported missing or dead in the Indian Ocean tsunami, when in fact some of the on the list are alive. The Toronto Star printed the list, which has not yet been released by the government because of privacy concerns. That drew a barrage of criticism because they named people who were alive. Like, for instance, they named a lady by the name of Erin Hiker, who was visiting Thailand, but her plane landed after the tsunami struck. So the Toronto Star sticks her name in there as among the 150,000 people that are dead, and her family's like having a heart attack back there in Canada. You know why all of this happens? Do you know why there's the Dan Rathers of the world? Why there's the Toronto Stars of the world? Why there's the Boston Globes? All these newspapers embarrassing themselves. All these major broadcast entities embarrassing themselves. You know why? Because of one guy. His name is Matt Drudge. And I was talking to Matt at our Premier Radio Network's Christmas party, and he's a bright guy and a nice guy. I like him. And he was wearing a cowboy hat, which really looks stupid, Matt. Anyway, I don't know, man. You're cool. I like you, man. I wish I was you, dude. Anyway, I said, you know that you're the guy that causes all these people. He says, well, he knows that, because here's what he does. Matt puts stuff on his website, whether he knows it's real or not, he just sticks it up there. It's sort of the new journalism anarchy that he has pioneered. If he's wrong, he's wrong. If he's right, he's right. It's up to you to decide. When they say you decide, Drudge is the guy that says you really decide, because he'll stick stuff up there that may be crap he doesn't know, but he'll go ahead and put it up there just in case it's true. Then, of course, it's up to us as consumers to ferret out the details a little bit. And he's really doing all of us a service, because when you read something in a newspaper, traditionally, we believe it. Now, it forces you to check things out. Because Drudge will put these things up on his site, and because oftentimes they're very true, he has drawn people's attention, and he has a lot of hits on his site. People go to his site for the news, and they're not going to the Toronto Star or to Dan Rather or to these other entities, the traditional news entities. As a result, the traditional news entities are saying to themselves, they're scratching their fuzzy heads, and they're going, how can we compete? I know. Why don't we just start not checking stuff out, too? But for some reason, they look like boobs, and Drudge, you know, he's running around wearing his cowboy hat, smoking a cigarette, having himself a cocktail, wearing his cowboy hat and loving life. Why? Because he already tells you up front, look, you know, it's the Drudge Report, man. I'll put out there whatever I think is out there, maybe not. But the Toronto Star putting the name of some guy that's alive walking around and says he's croaked because they want to scoop somebody. Nice going. Hi, I'm Dan Rather, and I've got these papers that said that George Bush is, you know, a bad guy, and it turns out that it was written yesterday at Kinko's. And he looks like a clown. Star editor-in-chief Giles Gerson would not reveal how the newspaper got the names, but said that the published said someone will get fired. No, he said the published list was compiled from three different lists from the government sources. He stood by his decision to publish the names. I'm not sure we can what we can do except express remorse, he said. How do you stand by something like that? You know, you ever hear these journalists? I'm sure you often hear, we stand by our story. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. That's journalists speak for, oh my God, we might be wrong. That's what they say. We stand by the report. How do you stand by publishing a guy's name who ain't dead? What is that? I don't get it. Do you? Hi, I'm Giles Gerson of the Toronto Star. Phil Hendry's dead. No, he isn't. Well, we stand by the story. Even though I'm standing here in front of you? Yes. Are you nuts? Yes. All right. In other news, we all know about high school bullying, but have you heard of cyberbullying? It's real, and three Loranger High School students have been arrested for it. You're looking at a computer. You're looking at computer equipment confiscated as part of a TV report or something? They say the bullying started when a 15-year-old female student created a website picking on a 14-year-old male student. He responded with his own site featuring poems with threatening language. A concerned parent alerted the police, and they contacted the authorities, and now they've, like, taken the equipment away. I told you I was standing with my daughter one night when she and two other friends were in a chat room, and they were calling each other whore and bitch and all this stuff. And I got online, I said, you bitch, you whore. No, I didn't. I got online and I said, I'm an adult. Seriously, it was like the three, and my daughter goes, look at this, you know. She was cool. She says, this is what's going on. And I said, are you using this language? And she said, no. And I looked and she wasn't. But the other two girls were firing back and forth at each other, whore, bitch, you know, this, that, this, something else. They're all like 14, 15-year-old girls. So I sat down at the computer and I go, oh, yeah? Well, I'm an adult. And I'm about to report you to the... And man, you never saw a chat room go empty. Just... It ran out of there. You don't know what's going on, man. But remember back in the day, it was a telephone. Now it's a freaking IM, baby. The kids are IMing each other. And, you know, that's where the world is right now. They can't live without their freaking IM and their cell phones. Talk about being in touch. By the way, my daughter just got a cell phone. It's the greatest thing in the world. The cell phone is the greatest invention that has ever occurred. Number one, you can be in touch with your kids in case they're in trouble. I mean, you know, if they need a ride home, they have contact with the house, right? Number one. Number two, they ain't using the house phone. Number three, why does anybody even have a house phone? Anybody give me an idea as to why we even have house phones anymore? The day I can find a sensible and easy way to hook my computer up to my cell phone, man, is the day that I say goodbye to whoever those clowns are that put those phone lines in my house that don't work to this day. Oh, God. How do I get DSL on a cell phone, though, is what I want to know. Can't do it. Don't even think about it, bud.
No, I'm scratching my noggin here.
You can't think of it. There's no way.
You can dial real fast.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show. Father McQuarters is going to be coming up here in a moment on how to explain the tsunami to kids. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, and our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com, and our whatever the hell else we got is someplace. Oh, yeah, the web address, www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, that's how I came to it. Farmer Bill Johnson talks about pig farming. And I went out to the pen where we have most of them. We've got a Rhode Island out there. We've got a blue and a gray. And I felt as if it was appropriate. I felt it was as if it was time to... And I don't make any apologies for it, but I was aroused, and so I...
You had sex with a pig?
I did have sex with it. Now, you can call that anything you want, but I can tell you now I'm a better man for it. Pork. It's not just for breakfast anymore.
Brought to you by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, thank you. We have on the line now Father James McQuarters is with us. Father McQuarters, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, sir. Thank you.
And we want to talk about the tsunami.
Yes.
And this devastating news that has been all over the world and certainly all over our country, and how young people are perceiving this.
Well, I know that the news is very pervasive. And as you said, Phil,
it's very what?
It's very pervasive. It's in all the news media.
Yes.
And all of the children, of course, have access to this. And I think I feel the need to address this, as you say, how to talk to the young people about the tsunami and the what it did to that part of the world. These are people who have suffered terribly.
And have you gotten calls from parents?
I've gotten a great many calls from a lot of parents in our parish. Yeah, not only at St. Cecilia's, but in the outlying parish of St. Luke's, the Holy Angels, and the Annunciation. And they've all asked the same question, Father, how do we approach our young people and give them this information with a modicum of sensitivity?
Right.
And I say the best thing to do is to tell them the truth. And, of course, as we know, the truth is that these people that live in this portion of the world are people that are not embracing the Christ. To not embrace the Christ is not necessarily something that will turn you away from the face of God. But as I like to say to them, it pisses him off a little bit, you know. And so... I would say that...
Well, are you saying that God visited this on them?
I think you have to. I think you have to be direct. Yes. And I think.
Are you? What do we tell the children?
Well, you tell the children in this part of the world, there are people who don't believe that a man was nailed up to a cross and then got up and walked around with holes in his hands. Can you imagine that? And so God decided to kill a bunch of them.
You don't tell kids that.
Well, you have to say something like, yes. Because as we know, the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus, was sacrificed for the sins of man. And if you don't believe this, then you've turned your face away from God. Now, the people of Sri Lanka, the people of Thailand, the people of Vietnam and so forth, they've not turned their face from God so much as they've sort of tilted their head like God's got bad breath.
And let's be serious here.
No, I'm being serious.
Well, what do you mean God's got bad breath?
What I'm saying is the people of that part of the world have been punished because they don't believe in the Christ. And if you do not embrace the Christ, then you are, you're messed up, man. You know, it's just...
Okay. Have you been drinking?
Yeah, Pop.
Because you're not making...
Look, I'm making myself as clear as I can after a bottle of JD. And I tell you...
Well, wait a second. God's punishing people because they're not Christian. What about, these are Hindus. They haven't grown up in a Christian culture. They've grown up in a Hindu culture, a Muslim culture, a Buddhist culture. This is what has been given to them since...
You don't think the church spent all those millions to try to get missionaries over there for our good looks, do you? We spent a lot of money to try to get the people over there. To try to convert the people. What are you telling me?
Well, maybe some of those damn missionaries didn't make it over there.
Well, that tears it.
What tears it?
You just said those damn missionaries. That tears it. Brother, when you say something like that, you're getting on the fighting side of me. And I can tell you, Phil, if you were standing in front of me right now, I'd kick your ass around the block for drill.
And Father, I didn't mean any disrespect.
Well, you sure are laying it on pretty thick for a man not intending any. Those damn missionaries. You know how many of them have lost their lives? You know how many...
No, I certainly understand that many have gotten caught up in these intestine political wars and...
They have sacrificed themselves for Jesus. They're no different than the Savior who got himself hung like a... He was hung like one of those tapestries. Our Savior Jesus. Nailed up like he's a family portrait. For a man and his sins. And so, if the people of that part of the world tilt their head like a curious beagle to the face of the Lord, they'll be punished by frying next to the false gods in hell. I'm sorry. But that's the way it's got to be.
Well, now, Father, I think it's heresy.
What is?
What you just said.
I'm a priest of God. You don't tell me what I'm the one that tells...
No, what you just said, I think, is heretical to say that those people will burn in hell because they didn't believe in Jesus.
I'm a priest of God. How are you telling me that what's heretical or not? I'm a canon lawyer. I went to Rome. I met the man. Kissed the ring. Did the whole thing. Went around, you know, met some of the boys. You tried to tell...
I'm telling you that what you just said is a blasphemy to say those people were killed by God as punishment for not embracing the Christ.
I am telling you right now, if you don't embrace the Christ, you will burn! And then, you know, I think there's a... I think it's wrong.
All right, thanks a lot, Father.
You bet.
He's a whack job, man, that cat. He's a whack job.
I just wanted to ask you something. Have you heard this one? Jesus walked through the wind and hands three nails to the...
Yeah, can you put me up for the night? If I hear that joke one more time...
You know, on Good Friday, Jesus woke up feeling a little cross. And...
You know, that guy's a priest, so I think he thinks he can get away with saying anything. You know, oh, well, I'm a priest. I can just be a smart ass. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back. Bob Bakey will be with us. We also got a behind the scenes with Love Songs with Bob, and also our news. We got a lot of stuff still to come on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, news from a guy who hears it in a bar with Craig Hardy in New York.
All right, how you doing? Craig Hardy here, and this is some news I heard from a guy. He's
A couple of guys I know, one of the guys offloads water over here, and another guy is filling up reprogramming a jukebox. Anyway, they said a tsunami was a hoax, okay? That's this guy I know. This guy works over, he delivers bottled water over the NBC TV station here. He says the tsunami's a hoax, and it's all a publicity stunt for some new video game they're going to do. What do you think of that? How about that, huh? So the whole thing's just made up, and they're trying to promote some new video game. I believe it, personally. I also heard a guy over here, the guy's getting one of these ham sandwiches. He's got a good meatball sandwich over here for 50 cents. He said that the 1.3 billionth kid was born in China, and he came out of his mom with a full Fu Manchu beard. Believe that? That's amazing. I heard a guy tell me that. Guys, here, he's just getting one of these meatball sandwiches over here. Another guy says that he heard Ashley Simpson got booed at the Orange Bowl because she wouldn't take her top off. That's the whole reason. Not because she can't sing. They kept saying, take it off, take off your top. And she's such a prude, she wouldn't even give him, you know, a little peeky boo or whatever you want to call that kind of thing. Also, I heard that John Kerry's selling hot dogs now at Wrigley. He's just totally on his ass. You believe that? The guy's running for president one day. Now he's selling hot dogs out in front of Wrigley. He's on his ass. Kerry's on his ass. This guy told me, because he saw him over there. One of the guys is shining shoes over there, saw him selling hot dogs out in front. Or another guy, you know what? They finally found out what killed that King Tut. You heard about him? Because they got his bodies going around the country right now. They're going to have it over here at the museum. I guess my wife wants me to take her someday. I got to go get a couple of tickets because her mom's in town. They found out what killed this guy. He was a two-pack-a-day guy. That's two packs. Okay, now I do maybe a pack. Hold on. What?
Turn off.
Well, then don't make it turn off, okay? I'm still doing news.
Ain't my fault.
Well, then get some guy over here to do it. Hey, I heard that Madonna, this guy who works doing telephone lines, okay, to some of the stars' homes in Miami. He's got a friend, anyway, that put an extra modem in Madonna's house. You notice she's really David Letterman, don't you? She's got a wig, you can tell by the gap in the teeth. That's this guy's. See? Now it's all making sense to me, anyway. Also, I found out that Bush got into a spat with his wife over what to name their new dog. He wanted to call it Little Piece of Crap, but his wife wanted to call it Mrs. Beasley, so they don't know. They're going to call it, probably, they'll call it Crap. You know? Another thing I heard where this old man got a computer from his son, he thinks the machine's gay because it has a virus after he looked at a porn site, so now he thinks it's gay. And then I heard that the moon launch? They actually went to the moon. And I guy told me that was fake. I guess they went.
News overheard in a bar with Craig Hardy in New York. Brought to you by the Mobile Corporation.
That's what I heard anyway.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now we go behind the scenes on Love Songs with Bob. Good evening and welcome to Love Songs with Bob. I'm Bob. And tonight we'll play your dedications for the person that you love. Are you missing that person? Are you wishing they were home with you? Maybe you'd like to send a special message out to that special friend who maybe they don't know how you feel just yet. You can do it tonight on Love Songs with Bob. Let's talk to Carrie right now. Carrie, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, thank you.
And Carrie, who would you like to dedicate your love song to?
To my husband, Jim. He's doing a job far away right now. He's on the other side of the country, and I really miss him, and I wanted to dedicate a song to him.
And what song would you like to dedicate to him tonight?
I'd like to hear How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees.
Okay. Well, Carrie, here it is. How Deep Is Your Love for your husband, Jim. And we certainly hope Jim is healthy and well, and we know he loves you as much as you love him. Thank you very much, Carrie.
Thank you so much.
For Jim, somewhere across the country, from Carrie, How Deep Is Your Love?
All right, Bob, we're clear. Commercial break coming up in 5 minutes.
Okay, can I get a drool bib or something? And I want to get a ham sandwich, too.
Yeah, we'll get a ham sandwich. All right, let's get the next break set up.
Hey. Can I get one of them, donuts with an eclair cream?
Yeah, we'll get you an eclair cream, Jesus.
And say it, will you? You gonna get a cup of hot cocoa?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
All right, back in 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, go.
Here they are, the Bee Gees. How Deep Is Your Love? It's a beautiful song, isn't it? A beautiful song for a beautiful, beautiful sentiment. This is Love Songs with Bob. Very good evening to you. Let's go to another phone call. Hi, who's this?
This is Craig.
Hi, Craig. How are you? Welcome to Love Songs with Bob.
Thank you.
Who do you want to dedicate your song to?
I'd like to dedicate it. I'd like to dedicate it to my wife, Mary. I love her very much, and I miss her. And...
Okay, that's enough said, huh?
Yeah, enough said. I just miss her.
And what song would you like to hear?
I'd like to hear How Deep Is Your Love, as a matter of fact. Just play it for the other person.
Well, we'll certainly play that for you. And thanks so much, Jim. Here's your song. This is for his wife. How Deep Is Your Love?
All right, we're clear. Hey, I got a booger in my nose.
Somebody wipe the booger away from Bob's nose, will you, for God's sake?
I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain.
The Phil Henry Show is produced by Chris Pelton, and the engineer is Mark Newman. And it comes to you from the Premier Radio Network, and that's in Sherman Oaks, California, which is near Los Angeles. People think it's someplace else. You can hear the Phil Henry Show in the 30-day archives on his website, www.philhenryshow.com. This is R.C. Collins speaking.
I got a booger in nostril, too.
Jesus.
Get us down when they all should let us be. We belong to you.
Hey,
what, Bob?
My finger smells like dew.
You're my savior.